Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the old hospital on College Hill. On March 3rd, 1928, the Williamson Hospital was opened in the small town of Williamson, West Virginia. At the time, it was a state-of-the-art hospital and served the community for 60 years. Thousands of people passed through its doors, seeing births, deaths, and trauma of all kinds. In 1988, the hospital closed its doors, but today is known as the Old Hospital on College Hill. Even though it no longer officially functions as a hospital, it seems like it's still serving patients, with doctors and nurses still helping those in need. The doors are now open for those interested in paranormal investigations and historical tours. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the old hospital on College Hill with co-owner and manager, Tanya Webb. I have got to start this conversation with you. How did you become the co-owner of this incredible hospital?
Well, that's an interesting story. First of all, the interesting, I guess, a fact about it, I was actually born in that hospital. So my life started there.
Talk about full circle, right?
Yeah, full circle.
So where it all began for you.
Yes. I've always, and I know this may sound weird to so many people, but I've always been kind of drawn to this hospital as well as the nurses' college that sits beside of it. In the city that we live in, it overlooks the city and it just kind of, I don't know, you would just have to, I guess it's one of those you have to see it to believe it kind of things. But I've always, even since I was a little girl, always been kind of into, I wouldn't say the paranormal so much. It's more haunted, spooky. I loved horror movies and just didn't know enough about the field to really know, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So long story short, this hospital, it was Williamson Memorial Hospital. They built a newer one in 1988. And the one that I previously owned became more of a clinic. And then they shut it down for good in 2014. As a lot of small rural hospitals in 2020, you know, COVID hit and some of the hospitals just couldn't survive. So all across the United States, small hospitals were shutting down. And unfortunately, ours was one of them. So when that happened, the courts became involved with the newer hospital and severed the ties between the newer hospital and the older hospital that I have today. And honestly, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I found out by accident that it was going up for sale. I was in a meeting. We were talking about planning some Halloween events, and I was under the assumption that someone else had already purchased it, but then I found out that they had not. So I went ahead and started making some calls and threw my name in the ring for trying to purchase it, never dreaming that I would probably get it. But, you know, I think everything happens for a reason, and here we are today.
When you bought it, did you have plans to renovate it, or was the plan just to do what you're doing with it? Do events, do paranormal investigations, tours, all of that?
Honestly, a little bit of both. I didn't know, again, I wasn't very educated in the paranormal field. I was really geared more for preserving history and the history of the building, because this hospital, it served over, you know, you can imagine it's 95 years old. So it was a pillar of the community for so long. And there's so many stories and there's so much history with the buildings. I just didn't want someone to come in and either tear it down and make it a parking lot, or, you know, someone to purchase it and maybe just let it rot and not do anything for it and just write, you know, use it as a tax write-off. I really believed, you know, when they built this in 27 and 20 and opened in 28, they really, really did a great job. And I wanted to be able to preserve not only my history, because like I said, I was born there, but I also lost two of my grandparents in this building before I was even born. So I never got to meet them. So it was a little bit, you know, of an emotional connection for me, preserving my history, but also the town's history, as well as the whole county, because this hospital was the biggest hospital and served multi. If you know where we're located, we're on the border of Kentucky. So it not only serviced West Virginia, but it serviced Kentucky and parts of Virginia as well. So it was a big hospital back in its day. So I just didn't want, like I said, I didn't want that history being torn down. And my first stance at it was, you know, I was coming at it from a historical side, but then I also love haunted and spooky stuff. So I knew I could do that kind of stuff. I just didn't really realize until things started happening to me in the building. And then I was approached by the Travel Channel, who had the show called Destination Fear at the time. And they wanted to film an episode there. And that's how we got started in the paranormal world. So, I had some friends that were kind of in the field of the paranormal. So I was, I had a little bit of knowledge of it, but not an expert in the field, if that makes any sense. So I really didn't know a whole lot about, you know, if the hospital would be, you know, would draw interest for people in the paranormal world, or if it was just more of a historical thing. Honestly, I really didn't have a game plan for it, but I knew I wanted to do something. If that makes any sense at all. I felt kind of drawn to it. I felt like I needed to give it a chance. And I felt like it just had so many stories to tell. And I just didn't want it to end up in the wrong hands, if that makes sense.
And it does. And when you think about you being born there and having grandparents that died there, think about all the other people in your community that have a similar attachment to the hospital. It's affected so many people.
Oh, absolutely. Even to this day, we're going into our third year now. People contact us all the time who either were patients there or maybe worked there or had loved ones that worked there. A ton of people that tell me that they were born there. So, and now they're all over the United States and some even over in different countries. So it really, you know, it really makes me happy when I hear people tell us their stories and even some of the spooky stories that happened to them when it was still an active hospital. So we always love documenting that because unfortunately, we don't have any records or anything to fall back on, but it was such a pillar of the community for so long and just such an important part of our area. I just didn't want to lose that. So I wanted to capture it the best way that I could.
And it is an impressive building. So when I first went to your website, and I would tell anyone to go to your website because you have the coolest drone footage on your—
Oh, thank you.
It is so cool. And it's collegehillhospital.com. And that really helped me get my brain around— a photograph wouldn't do it justice, but that footage really does. So can you describe to people the building itself, that the nurse's building next to it, kind of what it looks like, how big it is?
Sure. It's actually, the reason we decided to call it, the old hospital on College Hill is because College Hill was the road at the time that it was on because of the nurses' college. But the hospital itself, it was built in 1927 and opened in 1928. And it's a five-story building, and it's literally built up on a hill. I mean, it overlooks the city of Williamson, West Virginia. So approximately, I don't have any floor plans of the hospital, but I'm going to guess probably around 40,000 square feet, maybe a little bit bigger. But it's got five floors, including a basement. And when it was opened as a hospital, it was a 76 acute bed unit. So it was a pretty big hospital back in its day. For the 20s, that was a big deal.
That's big, yeah.
One of the articles that I have when we take people on tours, I have a little glass case, which is some of the articles that we found about the hospital. They did an article when it opened in 1928. It cost $175,000 to build that hospital in 28. So, you know, that's a lot of money back in that day. When someone first asked me, I honestly said 20 or 30,000, because I thought, you know, back then 20, 30,000 in 28, that's a lot of money. But when I found out it was 175,000, I was like, whoa, because I think somebody did the math and they told me that equals out to around 3 million. in today's times. So, you know, they really, the two doctors that were responsible for building and taking charge of this hospital really had a great vision, and they built her really well. I mean, to be 95 years old, you can walk through this hospital on all floors. And other than what some damage has been done from our vandals, unfortunately, the hospital's in great shape. There's no big holes in the floor. There are some in the walls just because vandals have done that, but nothing major, nothing structurally that you would be concerned of. The nurses' college beside of it is a little bit different, only because for whatever reason, the hospital through the course of its time, the nurses' college was a building that came along with the hospital. And for whatever reason, after it stopped becoming a nurse's college, they used it for, I think, offices. And then they just kind of shut it down, I believe, someone told me, around the early to mid 80s, and never used it again. But they didn't keep it up. So half of, if you saw that drone footage on our website, you can see some of the ceiling is actually missing in it. Some of it has collapsed. We're hoping that in 2024, we can do some fundraisers to be able to raise some money to put a roof on the nurses' college. That way we can, we would really like to renovate it and get it open to the public. We have some plans for it, and it's just a beautiful building. It doesn't look like it's very big from the front of the building, but it's actually about 7 stories high. So it's fairly, you know, it and just the structure of it. It's a beautiful building. And we have people that come up there just to take pictures of it because it was built so well and so pretty, but unfortunately just neglected over the years and nobody took care of it. So hopefully, you know, that's a long-term goal and it's going to cost us a lot, but we're invested in it. Charlie and I both are invested in it, and we want to see it work, and we don't want to see it dilapidate any further. But as you can imagine, with a building so old, it's mm-hmm. going to take a lot of money to preserve that. But we're in it, gung-ho about it. Again, it's another building that a lot of people have caught some really cool apparitions. It has its own legacy, its own history. It was one of the first nurses college in the state of West Virginia. So that was a pretty, you know, big stature in that time, because you could really say that the hospital was a teaching hospital, because the nurses would come over to the college, they would study there, some of them actually stayed there, and then they would go over to the hospital to practice and learn. So, you know, a lot of people think that was just more of a recent thing, but our hospital had that back in the 30s. So it's pretty, you know, and unfortunately, because nobody has really kept up a lot of records, we've had a really hard time tracking down any information on that building. So we're working really hard. We do know they called it Williamson Nursing School. So we do know that. And I've met a couple of people whose moms were actually, because at that time it was mostly, you know, it was female students that wanted to become nurses during that era. And one lady I used to work with, believe it or not, and she told me that her mom was one of the first classes to go through it. And she would take a rowboat. She lived on the Kentucky side. And if you know where we're located, it's the Haflin McCoy feud country. So we're separated by the Tug River. So she said her mom lived on the Kentucky side and would literally take a rowboat to come over to the nurses' classes every day. And just to attend that nurses' college. So, you know, to have that history and that meaning, and have people, you know, graduate from that college and then go on to become nurses, or, you know, whatever their story was, we want to be able to preserve that and tell people about that. So it's a really special building. Like I said, unfortunately, it's had a lot more damage than the hospital did, but we're hoping, like I said, we're still kind of new. We're only in our third year, but we're hoping we can raise enough money to at least put a roof on the college and then take it from there.
So when you bought the hospital, was it kind of a 2-for-1? The nurses' college came with it? Was it
a
package?
Yes, I actually had three. We were able to get the old hospital. We were able to get the nurses' college and then Dr. Conley's home, which is located just steps down from the hospital. He had that built. He was one of the co-founders of the hospital and had that built so he and his family could live there and he could just basically walk to work. And it's a beautiful home. We were thinking about fixing it up and selling it just to kind of pay off some of the debt, because as you can imagine, running a building as this big and just everything that's involved, it costs a lot of money.
Oh, so yeah. We
thought maybe we could, you know, fix up the house and sell the house and take that money and pay down on it. But as life happens, things happen. And the only, we're kind of a small city. So the only hotel we had in town, which is a beautiful hotel, by the way, very historical hotel, shut down last year. So when they did that, it kind of put us in a bind. And a lot of our groups that come and that come to visit us travel pretty far distances. So they needed a place to stay. And the closest hotel to us is about 30 miles away, which is not too bad. But when you're done investigating at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you don't feel like driving 30 or 40
right.
miles. So we just decided to include that, Dr. Caudley's home, as part of our package. So if you come and you investigate or take a tour, just visiting Williamson in general, you could also rent Dr. Conley's house, which is kind of cool because he was one of the co-founders of the hospital and it's literally within walking distance of the hospital. So that way you don't have to travel so far to check into a hotel or whatever. So we added that this year, and it's a beautiful house. I'm telling you, he just had I really pay a lot of homage to Dr. Conley and Dr. Salton, but Dr. Conley really, he was kind of the superhero of this whole story because he had such a vision for the hospital and he was such a worker, and the house that he built for his family is just beautiful. You would never know that this house was built in the 30s. He even had a maid's quarters built onto it. So it was, a state-of-the-art house back in its time. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So we were fortunate enough, I guess the hospital hung on to that to let, I guess, maybe CEOs and managers and people like that stay in that house when they were there visiting the hospital. So they kept it. And when we purchased that property, it came along with it. It's kind of like, I don't know, we call it our own little haunted hill attraction. Basically.
Well, and it is, because the way it does sit up on that hill and it overlooks everything, that would have literally changed the landscape of your city if that hospital would have ever been torn down.
Yes. Well, we've seen pictures. We were lucky enough to come across a picture. I think that was taken in, I want to say, in 1926 or 27. And the only thing that was up on that hill was the water plant that, if you saw on the video, it sits directly across from the hospital. Other than that, it was just a dirt road. So it was just a hillside. So to see it develop and be, you know, come to life and be built the way that it is. And now there are houses along the wall, you know, it developed through time so much. And when the city was booming and we had close to 10 to 15,000 residents, there were people everywhere. So it was really cool to see how it progressed through the years. And the fact that it's 95 and still there mm-hmm. and still, you know, doing well. I mean, it was built. Dr. Conley and them they knew what they were doing. And I think it was because Dr. Conley, the first Williamson Memorial, was actually just a 3-story wooden structure in downtown Williamson. It wasn't anything big or fancy. But unfortunately, in 1926, it caught fire on the first floor. And thanks to Dr. Conley, he was the main doctor, or maybe the only doctor, that was working that hospital at the time. And when the hospital caught on fire, because of his quick thinking, he took everybody up to the 3rd floor, started throwing mattresses out the windows. He let the nurse jump first, and then the nurses were catching. He would throw patients out. He would throw babies out. And because of his quick thinking, nobody died in that fire. There were a lot of injuries, but no one passed away. And then he, you know, unfortunately, he couldn't be saved because it was wood. It burnt really fast and went, you know, straight to the ground. He teamed up with Dr. Salton, who he had been practicing medicine with since, I believe, if I read correctly, 1914. They knew each other way back in the day. So he teamed up with Dr. Salton and said, hey, here's what I want to do. Let's build a bigger and better one that won't burn down, and let's put it up higher. And I'm thankful that he did that, because if you read any history about our little city at all, we were hit with a massive flood in 1977, and it wiped pretty much all of our downtown out. The water was that high. But it didn't touch the hospital because it sits up on the hill. So that's why I really like to talk about Dr. Conley and Dr. Stalton, because if it wasn't for those two gentlemen, that I don't think the hospital would be there today.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so either after listening to that story.
Yeah, he was pretty. And like I said, Dr. Conley, he, I could go on about both doctors because there's so much history with them. One of the interesting facts about both of them, Dr. Conley got sick and ended up selling his shares of the hospital to Dr. Stalton. So the Stalton family carried the hospital for many years. Dr. Stalton's son, Dr. Stalton Jr., went on to be a doctor there for a long time. But both of the co-founding doctors passed away in the 1940s within a year of each other, and they were just in their 50s. Dr. Conley went back. He was originally from Louisa, Kentucky, and that's where he was buried now today. And then Dr. Stalton, he was originally from New York, and he fell in love with the area, and he stayed here, and he's buried in one of our local cemeteries here, along with his whole family, except for one of his sons. And he went on to be a doctor as well. Dr. Stalton Jr. didn't pass away until 1992, and he's buried with his family in a different cemetery, but they're all close. So he stayed here in the area. So it's just, it speaks volumes to me that these two men cared so much about the community. If you talk to people that taught, that knew them or knew their sons or their families, they were so well respected in the community and so well liked that it's just, we got their pictures hanging up in the hospital. And then also in Dr. Conley's home, we got a picture of Dr. Conley in his house as well. So, we owe a lot to both of those gentlemen.
So I'm assuming it probably did sit empty for a while before you stepped up.
Yes.
And once you stepped up, and you live in a small town. I have lived in a very small town myself before. You hear people talking because they like to. Was there a lot of,
absolutely.
Did you hear Tanya bought the hospital?
Yes.
What's Tanya thinking? Did you hear a lot of that?
Yes. It, like you said, in small town USA, you get positive feedback and you
right.
get negative feedback. Unfortunately, I was met with a little bit of negativity because I think a lot of people here just didn't understand what I wanted to do with it, and they didn't understand the paranormal side of it. They just automatically associated paranormal with evil things.
Yes, it's all going to be demonic. You're bringing
yes.
in the Satan worshipers and things.
Yes, and that's exactly what they were saying. And it took me a long time, and I still have a few that buck me on some things. But, at the end of the day, people are going to believe what they want to believe. But I think I've been able to show them that it's not like that, especially, when the Travel Channel calls, and they want to come in and film a show and they feature your little city on the television. That's a big deal for our little city because we've been through a lot. We went from 10,000 residents to now we only have 3. Coal mining was the king around here. Now that the coal mines are shut down, a lot of people were out of jobs. A lot of people had to move. The second biggest industry that we had here was the railroad. And of course, when the coal shut down, some of the railroad shut
right.
down. So a lot of the railroad workers had to find other places to live. And it was just, it was just hard on this area. It hit us really hard. So it's not the booming town that it was 30 or 40 years ago. But we have, I always like unique things, and I think our area has that, and it draws people here, and the hospital just plays a factor in that, mm-hmm. and that's just one of the other things. So when they started seeing people coming in from all over the world, staying at the hospital, because when you come here, you're going to buy gas in the town, you're going to eat at the restaurants, you're going to stay, hopefully, in one of the lodges. So it helps everybody. So it's a win-win for everyone. So you're always going to have those one or two that feel like, it's just, it's bad. What you're doing is bad. This
right.
is negative and all that good stuff. It's small town, so you know how it is.
Yes, I very much do because I lived in one.
Yes.
But I've talked to other people who are in similar situations as you where they purchased. One man I talked to, he had a haunted hospital that the same people were talking, kind of the same sort of rumor mill. And then they were so surprised it was bringing money into town That they never even thought about that. And once that happened, then they thought about it much differently.
Yes. And that's kind of what happened here. And, you know, and it doesn't hurt that my my boyfriend, who's also my business partner in this, he's happens to be the mayor of the city. So he, you know, he helps me educate people. And when people come here, they love meeting the mayor. So even though it's a small, you know, small city, people love meeting the mayor. So, you know, he's able, he does a lot of interviews and stuff with it. And he reminds everyone, you know, what this does and how this helps not only, you know, just bringing people into the hospital, but it helps the whole area as well. And they want to come back. Because a lot of people, once they get here, they find out the history of our county. And I mean, if you really wanted a spooky adventure, you could come here and spend a whole week in this one county. We're located in Mingo County, West Virginia. And this is the God's honest truth. If you were to Google Mingo County, West Virginia, our nickname is Bloody Mingo. And that's because there were so many wars, there were so many massacres, there was so much bloodshed in our little county that some of it's in the history books, but people don't realize that it's here. We're the youngest county in West Virginia, but we're kind of the forgotten county, I believe, sometimes in West Virginia. And that's very unfortunate because we have so much history down in this, you know, down in this area. And the fact that we border Kentucky just makes it even better because there's so much history on the other side. Mm-hmm. I can throw a coin and be, you know, hit Kentucky. I can take 10 steps across the bridge and be in Kentucky, but there's so much history there as well. So when people come into the hospital and they're looking for other things to do, we just take time and say, hey, while you're here, you can visit the Hatfield-McCoy feud sites. You can rent a side-by-side and ride up in the mountains. They developed the Hatfield-McCoy riding trails, which are huge. It's probably our number one attraction in the area. And then the hospital is probably number two. But there's just so many things that you can visit. If you're into history or into paranormal or into spooky places, this county can keep you busy for quite a while.
So once you purchased the property, because I was going to say the hospital, but there's more than one building that goes with it. But once you purchased it, when did you realize, because you wouldn't have gone, well, I'm going to guess, you didn't say, I'm going to buy that and I'm turning it into a paranormal investigation site and people can come in. You had to figure out that there was paranormal activity first. How did you decide, how did you realize there was paranormal activity there?
Well, I have to give credit first to the Travel Channel and to Destination Fear. While we were in the process of closing, they reached out to us and said, you know, they introduced themselves, introduced the show. And I'll just be honest with you. I talked to the producer and I talked to, you know, they have several people that you have to go through. And I'm all for being on television because if it showcases our area, then, you know, I'm all for it. But what I don't like and what you see so often, people that showcase West Virginia, it's usually not in a positive light. And, you know, I did not want our community. I did not want the hospital. I did not want our area portrayed in a negative, you know, and forgive me for a lack of better term, but a dumb hillbilly, you know, kind of light. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do when they hear that you're from West Virginia. They already have you associated with something. And that's a shame because we're so much more. And I talked to them for a long time and I said, you know, I would really love that. But here's the condition. You know, if this show is going to make my area look bad or portray the hospital in any negative light at all, I said, then I don't want it. You know, I hate that I would turn down television, but, you know, and the, you know, because they're able to reach a whole lot, a bigger audience than what I ever could. But again, I wasn't wanting to risk or give us a bad name just to be on the Travel Channel, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So when I talked to them, they told me a little bit about the show and I had seen and had some friends of mine that had watched it. So they had told me a little bit about it anyway. So I kind of knew what it was about, but I didn't know a lot. And long story short, they pitched their idea and they said, well, here's how it goes with this particular show. The main lead investigator, his name is Dakota, chooses the last location because this was for the season two finale of Destination Fear. And as she said, there's already three or four other places in the running, but we would like to throw your hospital in there just to see if he would have any interest in it. And I was like, well, sure. Because at that point, I wasn't even sure he would pick us. About 2 or 3 days later, I got a phone call back from the producer. And she said, Tanya, Dakota loves the hospital. And the fact that nobody has been in there to investigate it officially makes it even more appealing to him. She said, we want to do the hospital. We want to investigate the hospital. So after we talked over the conditions and how everything was going to play, and they assured me that they wouldn't make our area look bad, they ended up, we closed on it in 2020. They came in at the end of 2020, filmed the show, and I think it aired in December because I wasn't going to open until the spring of 21. But they came to me after they saw the building and they said, listen, you better be prepared because once this hits, you better have all your social media stuff together. You better have all your phone numbers because people are going to want to come here. And I said, really? And they said, yeah. They said, this is a gold mine. They were just like, you're a hidden gem and people love to find new places to explore. So because honestly, Carol, I was only going to open it part time. I was only going to open it on the weekends. I was working another full time job and I really didn't know if there would be any interest in it or not. And I was just going to have it open on the weekends, you know, just to have something for people that came in town to do. And then when the Destination Fear show hit, I think it was December of 2020. They were absolutely right. We got slammed. I mean, it was a good thing that I bought a new phone because if it had been my personal phone, I don't know what I would have done. But I went and bought a work phone and, you know, the website blew up. The Facebook page blew up. People were messages going, how much do you charge for an overnight? You know, things that I hadn't even really thought of at the time. So they were spot on. And I have to really give them a big shout out because the Travel Channel and Destination Fear, they were so good to us and they portrayed the area in such a positive light. And they really, I think, captured, even though it was just an hour long show, the investigation they completed. And we were able to talk to them after the next day, after it happened, before they left. It fascinated me. And they kind of gave us tips and just said, hey, you know, open this up for the paranormal investigators. They absolutely will love investigating a hospital. And that's how we kind of got things started.
That is such a crazy story because when you think about it, yeah, no. It's like, I've got this hospital. Here's the Travel Channel.
Yeah, it was all, you know, I really felt like God had a hand in it. It was just like one of those meant to be kind of things because everything worked out so, you know, just like you said, I mean, oh, we're closing on the hospital. Hey, the Travel Channel's calling. Yeah. You know, I mean, what's the chances? So, and they found us on the internet. That's how they found us. So it was, you know, I feel like it was a blessing and to be able to reach millions of people and just being brand new. That was huge for me because, you know, again, I was kind of green behind the ear. I didn't know how to market very well and I was still learning. And I did know how to market because I'd run some other things. I did events in our community and stuff like that, but I've never ran my own business, if that makes sense. So this was a whole new world for me. And it ended up getting to the point where it went from a weekend business to a full 7 days a week. So I had worked for the state of West Virginia for 23 years and I just stepped down and I said, you know, they wanted me to work 10 more, but I just didn't have it in me. I said, I really enjoy working the hospital. I really enjoy meeting people from other states and other countries. And I love talking about my hometown and about the building and the stories and listening to what the paranormal teams find, because it's so fascinating to me. It's research for us because, you know, every team that comes in there, short of maybe one or two stories that are very similar, everybody gets something different. And I love that. And I would expect that because, again, you're talking about a 95-year-old hospital that went through so many different, it went through the Great Depression. It went through all those diseases. it went through so many different things that I would expect a whole lot of stories, you know? So, I came across two articles, but this one we came about when we were working on our website. You know, trains were huge in our area, and that's the biggest way people would travel back in the days. And I can't remember exactly what year because I don't have the article in front of me, but there was a train that derailed just about 5 miles outside of Williamson. And as you can imagine, it was on a mountain because that's all we were. And the conductor was actually killed, but 29 of those passengers were severely hurt, and they were brought to the hospital that I now own for treatment. So there's people, you know, coming through those doors that you wouldn't think would have probably never stepped foot in there. But there's, you know, because people ask me all the time, well, how many people were treated there? I couldn't even begin to tell you because it was such a hub. You know, you had coal miners, you had railroaders, you had passenger trains, you had people passing through. So it has so much to it that it's just, you know, it's hard to capture. But I love the different stories that everybody tells us about.
And, you know, they say that with hauntings, train tracks, limestone, and water. And I bet you've got limestone there, and with that water right there and the trains right there, it's kind of a perfect little trifecta for you. Yeah.
Yes, it really is. We have, honest, and this is no lie, our rail yard in Williamson, I think, is one of the largest in the United States. I think it's the second, third largest one east of the Mississippi. So when I say, if you Google images of Williamson, there's no doubt that those trains, the track will come up. It's huge. And Charlie talks, that's where he's good because he's the mayor. He knows a lot of history of the town. The people, the teams that come in that want to know the history about the town and stuff. And it's not that far from the hospital. In fact, when you hear people investigating, you can hear the train go by.
Oh, I bet.
It's kind of wild, but you're right. It does. I've heard that before. So if that is true, then it's definitely a good trifecta. And definitely, it's kind of the perfect storm for sure.
Let's talk about some of the paranormal activity that people have experienced. Let's start with you. Have you had any personal experiences in the hospital?
Yes.
Or when you, you know, because when I look at the pictures, obviously I have not been there. It looks like it would be haunted. If I was driving past and I saw this hospital up on the hill with the nurses' college right there, I'd be like, both those buildings are haunted and I'm not even next to them. You just get that feeling from them. They really do give off that feeling. And so when you went in there, was that something that you were excited about? Were you apprehensive about it at first?
A little apprehensive scared? Because where I wasn't, trained or well-educated in the field, I didn't know what to expect. Now, with saying that, I don't scare very easily. I was watching horror movies when I was 4 years old. So, you know, but there's been things that have happened to me in there that I wasn't prepared for. And some things that I wish I could have a do-over because it happens when you're not expecting it, if that makes sense, you know. And my very first experience, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking this stuff doesn't occur until 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's just, you know, again, my lack of education in the field. I was up there, we'd only been open maybe 2 months, 3 months at the most. And we had had a team that had left. And I went up there and I was walking the hallways just to make sure they didn't leave anything behind, that kind of thing. And I was on the second floor. And while I was passing one of the rooms, I heard a male's voice. He was over to the left of me go, "Hey." And he wasn't angry. It wasn't demonic. It wasn't evil. It was just somebody like trying to get your attention. And I stopped dead in my tracks because it startled me. I thought the team was already gone because in my mind, I assumed it was just the team that was there the night before because there were two men in that group. So I had my cell phone in my back pocket. So I pulled it out and I start texting with them. And I said, "Hey, are you all by chance still in the building?" And they said, "No, Tanya, we left about an hour ago, but we were getting ready to text you," because they said while they were packing up their stuff to leave, they kept picking up a male's voice on the second floor. So
and
I was
that's
just kind
where
of
you were.
Yeah. And I was Again, my mind is not thinking paranormal. I just assume somebody had broke into the hospital. So I go searching the whole hospital looking for a man that I thought had broke in. Long story short, it was not. Nobody had broken in. I never did find anyone. And I went back hoping that he would talk again, but he did not, probably because I handled it wrong. So I locked up the hospital and I went home and I sat on my couch. And I started thinking, it's 8:15 in the morning. That's what time this happened. And it just kind of hit me. I was like, you're so silly. You should have known. Because honestly, in my opinion, hospitals are probably more active during the day than they are at night. Because, you have doctors making their rounds, nurses making their rounds, or doing a shift change. I don't know if it was the patient who thought it was a nurse, or if it was a doctor who thought it was a nurse, or maybe they thought I was a patient and maybe they just wanted to talk, but I totally blew it. So I had to be educated in it and I had to learn, and I hope he'll talk to me again someday. I've not heard his voice again since that happened, but other things have happened as well.
What other things have you experienced there?
Doors will shut by themselves. I think the worst, the one that got me the most, was down in the basement. It's one of those rooms. The basement is probably, in my opinion, it's the biggest floor to explore, but it's by far the creepiest floor. And the two rooms in the hospital that never changed over the course of the hospital's time was the two x-ray rooms. And those are located at the end of the hallway in the basement. And it was last October. We were down there. We had had some Halloween fun and had some Halloween events and stuff. And we were just kind of locking up and securing, making sure nobody was in the building. And thankfully, Charlie was with me, because I don't think anybody would believe me if I told the story. But we were down there turning some things off, and we turned around, and one of the x-ray room doors, and you have to know this room, it was truly an x-ray room. So the doors, if you can remember the old x-ray rooms, the doors were really, really heavy. They're
probably lead.
Well, I think they are. And they're really heavy. They're hard to shut. They don't shut on their own. Right. Somebody literally has to be behind them to shut them. And not only that, to make it worse, when they turned it into a clinic, they put carpet down there. So it's not a, like a vinyl flooring or anything that, would have been, or linoleum or anything like that, probably back in the time. Because for whatever reason, when the hospital became a clinic in the 80s, they turned the basement floor into the pediatric floor. So there were pediatricians down there, which is sad. I don't think I would take the kids to the creepy basement, right, but they did. But those two rooms were always used as an x-ray room, but they put carpet down to cover the hospital flooring. So, this door, even if it was to start going to shut, it would get caught on the carpet. It's not a swinging door. So we were just down there, and we both happened to turn to face that x-ray room. And just as slow as you can imagine, it starts shutting by itself.
And how could that happen?
That really happened. We thought, honestly, our first thought, one of our volunteers is down here messing around with us. So he took his flashlight and he shined it behind the door, and there was nobody there. So he slowly opens it. And there's also a doorstop too, to keep it. And so he slowly pushes it back. It catches on the doorstop. He takes no more than two steps back, and it starts to shut again. Now, I can promise you, we've owned this building going on 3 years now. That door has never shut. It has always been open every single time I've been down there. The only thing that I can figure, so it shut again, and he went to open it for a third time, and I just grabbed his hand. I said, stop. This is just totally my opinion. I could be wrong. We used that part of the hospital. We had a, it was an x-ray room, and we had a gurney in there, and we had a very realistic body in there. It was a prop for Halloween, and she looked very real. A lot of people really thought it was an actress. They thought she was so real, but we left her there day in and day out. So, you know, one of the games that they had to play was they had to walk around the prop and tell us what they thought she died from, and kind of be doctors sort of, and just give us their diagnosis of her. But we never moved her in and out. We just always left her in there. So I really think, you know, it's the same as today. When you're having x-rays done, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to leave the room because you can't be in the same room with somebody because of the radiation. So I really think that there were spirits in there who were taken or working on her or thinking that she was real and doing x-rays with her, and they wanted us to leave. So I grabbed his arm and I told him, I said, leave it be. We'll come back tomorrow and see what's going on. I felt bad for the prop, but I was like, no way, I'm not sticking around.
And so after all, she is a prop.
Yes, we left. And I promise you, when we came back the next day to get ready for our Halloween stuff, the door was open. And that just, like I said, I'm glad he was there to witness it, because I don't think anybody would believe me that that door would not shut on its own. So that one really startled me. And that one really got me thinking. I was like, wow. Other than that, I mean, I've heard, you know, like I'll be on the third floor. I could hear footsteps above me on another floor. I can hear the elevator door shut at times. Now, our elevator is currently not working. It does work, but we had a bad storm about 2 months ago and it blew some of the power to it. So we're on a waiting list to get it fixed. Even though it's not working, you can still hear it. And it's just a weird thing. Me personally, I have not seen shadow figures, but some of our paranormal groups have. Some really good ones have been captured on tape and video. So we've had some really good ones, especially on the fourth floor. Second and fourth floor tend to be really a hot spot for shadow figures. Those kind of things. Knocks, you know, sounds, giggles. I've heard little kids giggling. Those kind of things.
Has anybody who's investigated there gotten some evidence, maybe photographic evidence or like video that you just mentioned, that really surprised you? And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the old hospital on College Hill in Williamson, West Virginia. In part two, we'll talk about how Nick Groff made contact with Tanya's grandmother and the story of Mose Blackburn, who still seems to haunt the building to this day. For more information on the old hospital on College Hill, tours, investigations, photography tours, and even weddings, visit their website at collegehillhospital.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you can find everything there, also all commercial free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.